Chapter 21, A Northbound Plane. Shortly after Colleen turned two, I wrapped up my column early for the day and found myself with a half hour to kill as I waited for my editor. On a whim, I decided to check out the website of a magazine I had been subscribing to since not long after we bought our West Palm Beach house. The magazine was Organic Gardening, which was launched in 1942 by the eccentric J.I. Rodale and went on to become the Bible of the back-to-earth movement that blossomed in the 1960s and 1970s. Rodale had been a New York City businessman specializing in electrical switches when his health began to fail. Instead of turning to modern medicine to solve his problems, he moved from the city to a small farm outside the tiny borough of Emmaus, Pennsylvania, and began playing in the dirt. He had a deep distrust of technology and believed the modern farming and gardening methods sweeping the country, nearly all of them relying on chemical pesticides and fertilizers, were not the saviors of American agriculture they purported to be. He began experimenting with farming techniques that mimicked nature. His garden flourished, and so did his health, and he trumpeted his successes in the pages of his magazine. By the time I started reading Organic Gardening, J.I. Rodale was long dead, and so was his son Robert, who had built his father's business, Rodale Press, into a multi-million dollar publishing company. The organic philosophy increasingly made sense to me, especially after Jenny's miscarriage and our suspicion that it might have had something to do with the pesticides we had used. By the time Colleen was born, our yard was a little organic oasis. Passers-by often stopped to admire our thriving front garden, which I tended with increasing passion, and they almost always asked the same question, "What do you put on it to make it look so good?" When I answered, "I don't," they looked at me uncomfortably, as though they had just stumbled upon something unspeakably subversive going on. That afternoon in my office, I clicked through the screens at organicgardening.com and eventually found my way to a button that said, Career Opportunities. I clicked on it. Why? I'm still not sure. I loved my job as a columnist, loved the daily interaction I had with readers, loved the freedom to pick my own topics and be as serious or as flippant as I wanted to be. I loved the newsroom and the quirky, brainy, neurotic, idealistic people it attracted. I had no desire to leave newspapers for a sleepy publishing company in the middle of nowhere. Still, I began scrolling through the Rodale job postings. Midway down the list, I stopped cold. Organic Gardening, the company's flagship magazine, was seeking a new managing editor. I had often daydreamed about the huge difference a decent journalist could make at the magazine, and now here was my chance. But a career editing stories about cauliflower and compost? Why would I want to do that? That night I told Jenny about the opening, fully expecting her to tell me I was insane for even considering it. Instead, she surprised me by encouraging me to send a resume. The idea of leaving the heat and humidity and congestion and crime of South Florida for a simpler life in the country appealed to her. She missed falling leaves and spring daffodils. She missed icicles and apple cider. She wanted our kids and, as ridiculous as it sounds, our dog, to experience the wonders of a winter blizzard. "Now there's a good reason for changing careers," I said. "You should do it, just to see what happens. If they offer it to you, you can always turn them down." I had to admit, I shared her dream about moving north again. Even as I grew to love Florida with its mild winters, spicy food, and comically irascible mix of people, I did not stop dreaming of someday escaping to my own private paradise. Not a postage stamp-sized lot in the heart of hyper-precious Boca Raton, but a real piece of land where I could dig in the dirt, chop my own firewood, and tromp through the forest, my dog at my side. I applied, fully convincing myself it was just a lark. 2 weeks later, the phone rang, and it was J.I. Rodale's granddaughter, Maria Rodale. Maria had taken a personal interest in the magazine her grandfather had founded, and she was convinced she needed a professional journalist, not another earnest organic gardener, to reinvigorate it, someone who could execute more challenging and important stories about the environment, genetic engineering, factory farming, and the burgeoning organic movement. I arrived for the job interview fully intending to play hard to get, but I was hooked the moment I drove out of the airport and onto the first curving two-lane country road. At every turn was another postcard. A stone farmhouse here, a covered bridge there. It didn't help that it was spring and every last tree in the Lehigh Valley was in full, glorious bloom. At a lonely country stop sign, I stepped out of my rental car and stood in the middle of the pavement, for as far as I could see in any direction, there was nothing but woods and meadows. Not a car, not a person, not a building. At the first payphone I could find, I called Jenny. "You're not going to believe this place," I said. 2 months later, the movers had the entire contents of our Boca house loaded into a gigantic truck.